All right, so it's set to be an interesting conversation. I'm loving the views already that were expressed on Tuesday. Let me welcome onto the show Lorraine Sithole. She's a promoter of local books, a writer, book festival curator, and also contributed to Nick Nkongo's book titled Black Tax Burden or Ubuntu. Lorraine, good morning.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, Lorraine. I don't know if you're able just to get to a quieter space because it's quite noisy in your background. We'll see how best we can work around it. Let me invite next onto the platform Phehello Mofokeng, who is an author and also a contributor to Black Tax Burden or Ubuntu. Phehello, good morning.
For having us, and good afternoon, good morning to your listeners.
All right. And Gerald Mwadiambira, CEO of the South African Savings Institute, somebody who's no stranger to this platform. Gerald, good morning to you.
Morning, Kathy, and good morning to all the SAFM listeners.
All right. Let me thank you all for being part of this conversation today. And it really is about understanding what black tax is and the impact or the effect of black tax and the ability of at least some professionals, black professionals, to be able to, you know, move on or progress in their lives, at least in the way that they see some of their counterparts doing. So let's start with the basic question, and also just based on what our listeners have been saying. Is black tax limited to black people? What is black tax? Gerald, because you had the loudest giggle, I'll begin with you.
Thanks, Kathy. I think, look, the term black tax, as one of the recordings you played said, it's a term which has been misused, and we need to go back to basics. The historical use of the term black tax referred to the fact that a black person in a professional employment needed to work much harder than a white person or previously advantaged person to achieve the same results. So we earn less, but we work more. And that was the original term for black tax. It's since morphed into all sorts of things. And the most common use right now is to really talk about family responsibility. Let's not call it black tax. Black tax is simply family responsibility. And as the other caller alluded to, it's not a black thing. It's a cultural thing. Many cultures look after their families. But the issue with our context in terms of South Africa is that the general accepted view is that previously advantaged groups had the law to support them to create wealth, and black people were displaced and lost their wealth. So it's harder for us to look after our families because we don't have that wealth base or wealth transfer of inheritances which are perceived to happen in the previously advantaged groups. Now, one of the other callers said, I'm previously advantaged and I'm white, but we were never rich. So in essence, it's family responsibility. The youth or the AMA 2000 are abusing the term because they don't want to carry family responsibility. So they try and paint this thing like it's something terrible. It's a curse, black tax. No, family responsibility is who we are. Africans, we look after our parents. It's always happened for many generations. And I think those people who hide behind black tax to not look after their families have other agendas.
I hear you, Gerald, and very soon I'm going to want us to explore what the limitations are, right? So it's one thing to say, yes, people are being, you know, they're being unreasonable, but are there limitations to the kind of family responsibility that one can and should be taking on? That's part of the question we have to be asking. Lorraine, let me come to you. What is black tax?
Yeah, like Gerald, I also struggle with the term or the concept of black tax. And as a black woman in South Africa coming from the township, and as Gerald said, you know, I have experienced hardship. I have seen that my counterparts with a skin color different to mine, when we start working, they start on a better footing. You know, when I started to work, I lived in Soweto. I had to wake up earlier. I had to take two taxis. And in the afternoon, when they went into their little networks, you know, to form plans, to strategize, I had to hurry home because public transport was going to leave me. So my concept of black tech is not only limited to that, but I think that we need to interrogate the concept further and look at its origins. And as Gerald said, that, you know, in these times, black tech is limited to family responsibility. But I do have to disagree with him when he said that it sounds like people don't want to help extended families. Most of the times we cannot afford to. You know, we have come for work into Joburg. We don't live in our parents' homes, or we don't come from the areas that we are born in. Now you have to carry the responsibility of providing shelter for yourself, of providing transport for yourself, and the salaries that we earn at the end of the month do not even cover us enough to be able to live better lives. And then the added expectation, just because you are a graduate, you are a CA, and then there are all these tested expectations from family. So I think the conversation is around that. It's not around us wanting to help or assist back at home. It's most of the time we cannot even afford to take care of ourselves where we are right now.
Okay, thank you for that, Lorraine. Pihillo, let me give you a chance to weigh in. We'll take the 11:30 news headlines and then continue with our conversation. Pihillo?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to the news.
No. You can go quickly before I have to go to news.
Look, I agree with both Lorraine and Gerald. I think we are misusing the term. Family responsibility is family responsibility. Some of us come from, both my parents are domestic workers, and there is no way now that in their twilight years, in my father's twilight years, I'm going to ditch him and then you see me at Konka boiling it up, you know. So for me, it is family responsibility. There is a misuse, but there's also a nuance to it that sometimes our parents don't understand that, you know, in Joburg, you pay even to breathe. You pay for just about everything. So I also agree with Lorraine that sometimes it's not a matter of us not wanting to, but it's purely an affordability issue. So I think it's a very nuanced and often a very personal kind of experience. I mean, I'm building a house now with my dad. I live with my brother, but I'm a graduate, you know. So it's hard. I'm hustling. I'm publishing books. I'm doing so many other things just to make things meet, the ends meet, you know. So it's hard if you are a black person, but at the same time, I have not seen all this responsibility as a tax. For me, it's what I'm here to do. You know, it's my father has to have a degree of dignity in his twilight years, you know, and it's my responsibility to do that.
All right. Thank you for those opening remarks. It's 11:30. Let me go to Anne Musa with the headlines, and we'll continue the conversation on black tax. What is your understanding of black tax? How does the conversation actually apply in your life? I love what Lorraine was saying through the context of work, and we'll elaborate on that a little bit further. For now, Anne Musa is standing by.
The Talking Point with Kathy Motlatlana, weekdays 9 a.m. till midday.
Well, I certainly can't wait to see the visuals of that coin flipping that Anne Musa was just talking to us about. But we're going to continue our conversation looking at black tax. Is it a burden or is it Ubuntu? At least as some of our contributors have been debating that subject through the book, Nick Mhlongo's book titled Black Tax, Burden or Ubuntu. Lorraine Sithole, Pihile Mofokeng and Gerald Mwadiambira are our guests for this morning. One of the things that I often think about, especially where black tax is concerned, Gerald, is what Lorraine was saying in the context of the workplace. So you have, you come in as a young, whether graduate or intern, And we have the figures that actually back this up, right? You as a black person, you're probably earning lower than some of your other counterparts. If you are not, the conditions under which you have to operate, so there's still the issue of, you know, having to find your way to and from work. Some of your fellow interns are getting into their cars and driving home, and, you know, you are having to work your way through so many other challenges. And part of the argument that young professionals have been making over the years is that just by virtue of those different environmental contexts, it takes longer than for Kathy to, say, be able to buy her first car, even though she's been working for X amount of years, because of these additional responsibilities that come and that are, you know, the expectations and the demand that is being laid on that, you know, minimum stipend that one would be getting as an intern. And it basically continues to build on from there, even as one progresses in their career.
Look, I totally agree with you, Kathy. I think there's a medium narrative which tries to deflect the real conversation, which I think is this one, the one you're talking about, that the real black tax is a simple fact that we don't earn the same as our previously advantaged or white counterparts. I can give you a personal testimony. There's people I started work with, and there's people who started after me who are different skin color, and I trained them. They became competent, and they became my team leader, and they became my manager. And yet day one, when you came to work, you were trained by me. Mm-hmm. And this whole professional black tax narrative is the one which most people are very uncomfortable discussing, but it's reality. Even if you go right into the professional realm of saying being a black financial planner or a black accountant or black engineer, we are still lagging behind simply because of our blackness. So when we talk of black tax, it's really the tax of me having to work much harder to achieve similar gains or goals as our previously advantaged groups. And yes, we are carrying the additional burden of family responsibility. Because, you know, if you had a whole system working for you and you're previously advantaged, you inherit a house. For us, a bond is a 20-year responsibility if you are going to pay the minimum installment. And for other groups, they're inheriting a house. So imagine if you inherit a house, it means already 20 years of that money which we are paying into bonds is already for you to create wealth and do other things. So I think that's the real black tax. And with my esteemed colleagues, I'm not saying that we're trying to run away from black tax. I'm simply saying that, you know, it's being abused. I think the younger generation are simply just abusing it because they don't want to be responsible or accountable for anything. But, you know, as adults who grew up and were raised by families, family responsibility is not even an issue. We have to do it. It's who we are. It's ubuntu. But the real conversation, I think, is around the fact that in the workplace where we earn the income, it's not enough in the context of we're starting with one foot behind our peers who come from advantaged groups.
Lorraine, I want to build on this idea that, and it has come out a lot in what Gerald has been saying, that black tax is, you know, it's ubuntu, it's your family responsibility, it's something that you have to do. And that becomes the challenge that many people face, because they find themselves in a position where they're like, okay, so now I don't have a choice, I have to help, but where and how far should I be going in helping? Who do I help? Do I help my parents and my siblings? Do I help my uncle and my aunt who still stay with my parents and their siblings? Do I help my parents, my siblings' children? Do I pay for their school fees? So when we think about how far reaching it can be, are the parameters clear on when are you doing your family responsibility and when are you actually just being taken for a ride?
Yeah, the lines tend to be blurred there, Kathy. So, you know, I believe that it is very, very important for us to be very honest with our families you know, and also in our heads, we need to distinguish between black tax and family responsibility. If I have to help out at home because I know my family situation, I know the sacrifices that were made in order for me to be in this particular place in my life, then I think that it is only fair and out of your humanity to plow back into your family. When I am paying school fees for my sister's kids, it's not taxation on my behalf. It is me setting them up for a better future so that my sister, if she is in a position not to get proper or formal employment, then they can be able to take care of her in her twilight years. So it's not a burden, it's not a tax, it should be viewed as an investment in a future generation. Because at the end of the day, Kathy, we do want to break these cycles of poverty, of not being successful, of not being, you know, a family that progresses. So the first step for me, for us as a family, was to sit down with everyone concerned and have honest conversations about what we can help with, how far we can help with, and how long. And if you are putting children through school, it's very also important to sit them down and say, I see this is a 3-year degree. All you have to do is to make sure that you go to school and you get that degree, because we cannot do this in perpetuity. We start getting stressed, we start getting all sorts of mental challenges, and eventually we become very, very resentful, and we don't answer the phones anymore, we don't go home, we don't go to family meetings, and, you know, it just starts a whole cycle of mental and physical degradation on a person.
Yeah. Okay. So, Pehelo, I'm going to also get your views in a moment, and then I'll take some of our callers. I see some calls already lined up. You can be part of the conversation on 011-714-2006.
Across South Africa, online and on radio. SAFM, let's talk.
We continue the conversation on the talking point, and we're looking at black tax. Is it a tax or is it Ubuntu? The phrase, family responsibility, has come up a lot here today with our guests, Lorenzo Tole, Pehelo Mofokeng, and Gerald Mwadiambira. Pehelo, let me give you a chance also just to weigh in. So Lorenzo says it's an investment that one is making. But oftentimes, you know, when you invest in something, then you expect to see positive returns. That's the expectations.
No.
You don't expect to see positive returns?
No. You see.
What are you saying no to? Let's begin there. Because the no is vehement, but what are you saying no to?
This definition, this Western definition of things that we are doing as Africans, when I invest in my brother, I expect nothing in return, right? Mm. So perhaps it's one of the things that I certainly avoid in my article in the book, to use these Western terms, because as soon as I say I helped you, therefore I was making an investment and I expected a positive return in however long, then it's not help. You know, it's a financial transaction. And that's not how I was taught. I helped my brother. My brother helps me. And his return on that investment is to see me do well in life. That is my return.
So, Pehelo, what do you understand to be the return of investment?
So I would put 100 bucks away in a bank, in an investment account. After 5 years, I will find 115, if I'm lucky.
So what I was understanding Lorraine to be saying is that if you are paying, and this is the classic example, for somebody's education, the return on that investment would be for this person to be committed to their education, to finish school, and be able to potentially make something of their lives. That's the kind of return that I understood Lorraine to be talking about. Not that once you're working, then they must then you know, begin to give you something for having contributed to their education.
No, I agree with that definition. I agree completely with that definition. And perhaps sometimes what I have done where I have helped people like that, I would say, I would help you with this, I would pay for this. What I expect in return is that you must find one person that you will help with this as well, or something similar to this. And we keep that chain moving. And what I wanted to say when Gerald was speaking and Lorraine was speaking was that what also makes this very difficult for us as black people is that we have not systematized this way of helping each other. That's why we all feel like it is a burden, it is a tax, it's investment, it needs a return, and so on and so on. But if we're doing it in a systematic way, where I say, for example, I've looked at people that have worked for me as domestics and all of that. And my thinking has always been, but what happens to them when they grow much older? We are not paying UIF for them. We are not doing this. We are not doing that. So we need a way of systematizing what we are doing for each other, for families, for our families back at home in Free State, in Limpopo, wherever, so that that investment, as we put it in inverted commas, we can see the return of. And that return could be you, myself, Lorraine, and Gerald, we have domestic workers, but we put money away for their children's education. In 10 years, when they leave us, their kids can now go to that fund and say, you know, I'm the child of so-and-so and so, and I want to go to Vets University. A part of that money could come from this systematic thing that we are doing as black people for ourselves. So all I think another way is just that we are not systematizing. That's why we feel so bad in there.
All right. I want to take some of the callers that have been lined up. Ofenze, you're calling us from Standerton. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy.
Yes.
It's my first time going through on the show.
Okay, welcome. Welcome to the show, Ofenze.
I've been trying for years.
we get busy sometimes.
On an Aldrin's show, but I've never been able to go through yours.
Oh, I'm so glad that you managed to reach us today, Ofenze. Go for it.
Yeah, the problem is we're confusing black tax and family responsibility. Because with family responsibility, taking care of your parents, if they cannot take care of themselves, it's not black tax. In all the races, it happens that way. Indian, colored, whites, blacks, in all races, it happens that way. Then you have black tax, where it comes to say, when you start working, the people who are not supporting you, who are not there when you're struggling, who are doing nothing for you, you are struggling, hustling for yourself. They start coming as a family. They sit down on meetings. They start telling you that there is your cousin there. He's not working. He's got kids there. You need to help him support the kids.
And often the way that you're describing it sometimes really speaks to the kind of emotional expectation that is laid on people, because when you're going to be called into a meeting by different members of the family, it's very hard to, in a setup like that, turn around and say, but I can't help, because they're imploring you, you know, to help. Somebody just said blackmail, but talk to me about that, Ofenze.
Yes, that's the first part of it. That's where they start. They start telling you that there's your cousin who needs this, and that. Can you help? In an essence, you don't have a right to say no, because, like you're saying, it's an emotional blackmail. That's why I start categorizing that as black tax. You are actually being taxed because you are asked in a format where you won't be able to say no. Then that's where the tax starts. Like I gave you an example of cousins. They'll come and say, your auntie there, so and so, is not working. She's struggling with food. Can you help this month? And then the next month it comes again. They say, can you help again? Then there comes this thing. Another thing that forms black text. They ask money for food from you. You provide that money because you're saying you're helping from your heart. And then they take thousand five hundred rand and whatsoever. They start buying their kids Cavellas and whatsoever. And you taking the money that you're supposed to be doing, buying your home or building your home, you helping them, they're taking their money, they're spoiling their kids.
Yeah.
That forms part of black tax.
All right. Ofense, thanks for calling in. And I think the way you've relayed it is often a way that many people will be able to understand, and it will resonate with many people. Tagatayo, you're calling us from Cape Town. Good morning. Hello, Tagatayo. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, thank you very much, Katie. You see, the previous caller now, I don't think the black tax is what he was trying to now relay on it. The black tax, Katie, according to the people who put that term, is that one of giving our parents and maybe our brothers something after maybe you are working. That word is not even coming from our adversaries. Maybe we can call maybe the people who are white, or it is the term that was coming from us. I remember the first caller said it is something that came from 2000. Katie, if you remember, our parents used to say "ukuzala kukuzolula." I don't know how I can put it in English, but it means that when I'm now, I can't even touch my bed, Katie. There is someone in the house that is going to help me, or you can even wash your mama, who can't even wash herself because she is old. So it's a family responsibility, but it is now put in the wrong way, as if somebody demands something from you. Mm-hmm. And that money we gave to the parents, that you know that they were suffering, and they were selling eggs, they were selling hen, they were selling even goat, to take you to school, you know the standard of your home. Then, when you are now graduated, you can't live in those Rhoda vans again.
So, Tagatayo, does it begin and end with one's parents for you? Does it begin and end with the parents, or does it extend beyond that? Oh, Tagatayo, I'm not sure what's wrong with that line, but I am losing you there. Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. And you know, part of the reason why I'm asking Tagatayo that question, I've got a message here from S who says, Kathy, my dilemma is that I tried to help my siblings complete their studies and they didn't take things seriously. And worst of all, now they have so many kids and they're not working. Is that supposed to be my responsibility while I also have my own problems? And that's the question, right? So how far should this extend? How far does it extend in reality? I want to take some of the voice notes that you've sent through on this issue of black tax.
Hi, this is Katie. This is Tamisi Kupelo from Kimberley. Why do we take everything that is negative with black? Black Friday, black tax, black sheep, and so on. Everything that is black is tagged with negativeness. Why don't we have white tax, you know? But let's go to the subject of the day. In these circumstances, in this economic downfall of our country, that we are facing, one person that is working must be responsible for assisting at home, because there is a large number of people that are unemployed. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in this particular situation that whoever is working in a household must assist. There is no...
Hi, Kathy. It's Doomsie from Cape Town. Black tax is not a race issue, it's a class issue. Whether you are white or black, if you belong to the working class, you have what is known as black tax.
Good morning, Kathy. It's Muzi here. It is not black tax. It's just us being responsible and taking care of our families. My brother's kids are my kids. We have to do what needs to be done, and it has always been like that, and we expect our kids to continue with this, taking care of each other. We must stop using this as an excuse for our delayed prosperity.
Hi, this is Kathy. You know, I just want to say that this black taxing doesn't really apply only when you start working. You know, before even I started working, while I was still in university and was on a bursary, you know, I would send money home, and you know, at times it's because I just felt obligated to, and also sometimes, you know, they just call and you know, just say, worry, hey, you know, the fridge is not working, or your sister's shoes, they're getting old, and you know, because I was on a bursary and got that monthly allowance, then I would send a share of that for them at home. So yeah.
And it takes place in so many ways and forms. And the fact that there's some people who are opting out, who are saying, I've done my bit and no more, that is often not welcomed as well. Because again, it is seen to be an expectation that one doesn't really have the option of opting out of. Gerald?
Look, I hear you. I think we need to understand Ubuntu and where it comes from. Ubuntu comes from our Africanness and our African Commonwealth system, which was robbed of us by colonization, where we had a granary, we kept our herds together, we kept our wealth together. Therefore, it was very easy for us to look after each other as family.
Mm.
My point, which I would like to make now, is let's create a new type of wealth system as Africans, which is based on this Western culture where families save together, where families invest together, where families actually start to monetize and create a new Commonwealth system where we look after each other, because that's where the breakdown is. Ubuntu worked fine because we stayed in the same village and it was easy to manage. Now, because of the Western system where, you know, siblings are all over the world and all sorts of things, we need to actually say, okay, how can we reconnect so that our family wealth is together? And therefore, when someone has a problem, they tap into that. So now in the festive period, I would say families have those discussions. Do your family stock first. Do your family properties. Do your family investments. Let's stop being negative and let's stop funding consumption. Let's rather start funding investment. So where there's a need in the family for money, rather let's buy chairs, let's rent them out. Let's buy tende, let's rent it out, so that we can at least start creating a bit of income and wealth.
Mm.
Our problem is Ubuntu is very much linked on our African Commonwealth system, which was stolen. It's gone. There's no granary. There's no cows. Mm. So, you know, if someone's getting married, you can't simply say, let's send four cows and send them to Kathy's house.
All
They're
right.
not there anymore. So let's recreate this African wealth so that we can stop the negative connotations. And I'm so agreeing with that other caller that let's stop making our blackness negative. Black is not negative. Black is beautiful. And we love who we are.
Okay. Lorraine, let me come to you. So Gerald says, let's all do our bit. But we know that part of why the system exists in the way that it does is that not everybody is able to do or contribute in the same way.
That is so true, Kathy, especially during these times where half of our families have lost their jobs and their responsibilities have now fallen on our shoulders. You know, I'm hearing Gerald say we need to recreate this African way of creating wealth. But, you know, this is 2021 December. We are living in COVID with families having lost jobs, no salaries going in, and we've already been burdened for the past 19 months, and now we are carrying new burdens into the new year. How do we then bring in everyone into that new recreation of building African wealth? How do we move forward? I don't know, Kathy. I really don't know.
All right. Let me go to Pihello. Pihello, your own views here?
I agree with Gerald. As I said, it's about systematization. I love that idea of families saving together, doing small jobs, businesses, and all of that together. I think it's a lot more sustainable. I also like what he said when he said that we are also funding consumption, and this conspicuous consumption. You'll find that you are buying a 2,000 rand dress or suit for a child that's finishing matric, or some very, you know, dubious kind of consumptions that we shouldn't be funding. And that's where the line is drawn for me. Like, my father knows exactly the things that I will do for him, and he knows the things I will not do for him. My cousins, my nieces, my nephews, they know things that Malume will do for them and things that he won't do for them. And I'm very clear about that. Another way in which I think we can advance systematically in terms of how we continue this Ubuntu of ours that we do not want to see as a tax is, for example, I start a small business, it becomes successful. Who are the first people that I should hire? It's my family. It's, you know, people are going to say it's nepotism, it's all of these things, but we've got big mining companies that are owned entirely by families. Why can we not do the same thing?
All right.
So I think we just have to be systematic in how we do this.
Let me thank all of my guests for coming onto the show today, Gerald, Pehelo and Lorraine, for contributing to this conversation. Lots of voice notes that we've received. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go even through a fraction of them. But thank you all for your participation. That's where we leave it for today on The Talking Point. We're back with you again tomorrow as we wrap up the week. It's now over to The Update at Noon with Sakina Kamwendo.